it quacks like a duck and it looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And in Kyler Casper's situation, it does happen to be a duck, not a Hawkeye. And that's okay. We'll talk a little bit about that. We also talk about street fighting and some other stuff, like just stuff that would come up on a podcast with me, Kevin, and Drake as the hosts. You know, it's an hour of fun. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Watch the Walk-Ons fans, episode 309, I think, of the podcast. And today I'm coming at you a little bit of a hoarse voice. I apologize if I'm coughing a little bit. I got choked like an absolute bitch today. And I can't do anything about it. My throat muscles are bruised. And there's really nothing I can do about it at this point. So my apologies. Here with my main man, Bane. And just looking forward to a podcast with my friends and making some jokes and telling some stories. And I'll start it off with a cute story for you on this Easter morning. Before training, I was using the bathtub as a hot tub because, you know, warming up the joints feels really nice. Getting a hot tub in you before you got to go train, you know, we know all about that. And Bane was scratching at the door. He would not allow me to not have him in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, this dude is, first of all, drinking the steaming hot water. And then he's like, fuck it, jumps up and into the bathtub and then just lays on my chest. And he just laid there. And I'm like, Kaylee, you got to come see this. And just for like 30 seconds until Kaylee came in there, he was just laying on my chest, content as hell. He was just going to hang out in the hot tub with me until I got out.
That's unbelievable. And for those listening, you could hear Bane chew on the mic there for a second in the beginning. So that was funny. Your mic is doing that weird, like, little staticky thing. So I don't know if you have to, like, move it further away.
Let me try and just refresh my mic. You talk for a bit.
Okay. Kev, I think we've got Turn Signal Kev with us today. Is that right?
I am in the car, but we're on the freeway. I don't know how many turn signals we're going to get, but hey, good to be here.
Yeah, for now, you actually sound better than Drake on the mic. Were you picking up his weird audio too?
I did. I thought that was me and my cell phone, like, kind of breaking up, but nope. It's good to know that was not me.
Nope, I think your cell phone works just fine. Hopefully the mic staticky situation can get taken care of over there in Nashville, Tennessee. Again, for those listening, Bane's cute as hell. And I think he goes to puppy school soon. Is that right?
Yeah, he goes to puppy school May 1st, and I'm not looking forward to dropping him off. It's going to be a tough day for me.
May 1st. Oh, so you still got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's 2 weeks when he goes.
Say that again.
That's 2 weeks when he goes.
Yeah, in 2 weeks he goes. From May 1st to June 1st, he's going to puppy school.
Oh, so it's a month that he's there. Okay.
A month long, yeah.
And then he comes back with the bulletproof vest and train killer mindset.
Not quite. He's just going to be very well trained as like a house dog. And then from there, once he has all his fundamentals, then we can take him to do the fun stuff. But he'll do all of that training with me, like alongside.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok of a guy walking with his two dogs. I think both of them were German Shepherds, and he just said free, and they would walk and play as they were on the sidewalk, like run up ahead, roam around, whatever, and then he'd just say with me, and they'd both immediately turn around and they'd both had a side and they walk right by his side, and I was like, well, this is fucking Drake. Like, this
yep,
is Drake,
that's right.
I'm pretty excited to see it.
It's gonna be elite.
So
it'd be cool to make a dog training jujitsu cooking YouTube channel.
Kev, would you tune into that one?
Is Drake the one teaching me how to dog train jujitsu and cook?
No, go through the journey with me.
It's a vlog.
Oh, it's a vlog. Then no, absolutely not.
Zero interest. Oh, shit.
Dude, I mean, I get there's a lot of people that do this stuff, but I just feel like, dude, live your own life. Don't watch someone else live their life. I just think that's weird.
I'm with Kevin on this one, but I do think it would be fun to make vlogs with my dog.
I am also with you on that, but I don't think it has to be one or the other at the same time. Like, I mean, I watch a lot of, I'm subscribed to a lot of people on YouTube and watch, I follow and keep up with a lot of content. I still live my own life. But I get what you're saying. You got to be able to do your own thing and not just live on the internet, which is what a lot of people do these days, including all of the Iowa fans who are not happy that Kyler Casper is headed.
Did they think they had a chance, dude?
He's headed to Oregon. He's going to be a duck. Quack. They shouldn't have thought that we had a chance. Because why?
I mean, let's be real. The only reason that they were in the Hawks were in the running is because it was his dad, right?
The only reason. Correct. Yeah.
Like, say this is some other athlete in Arizona. There's, you know, Iowa's not even in the top 10, most likely, right?
Iowa's probably not even recruiting him. Like, there's plenty of top 10 receivers out there. Oh, that's actually a horrible statement. There's 9 other top 10 receivers out there. that's not what I wanted to say. What I meant for it to come out of my mouth was there's plenty of other top talent receivers out there. Iowa does not recruit most of them, right? Like, first of all, a team can't recruit every guy in the country. Not even close. Hey,
there's some teams that try. Have you seen like some of the amount of scholarships some of these teams are throwing out? It's like 400 plus.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I've seen the graphic where it's like Nebraska and Iowa State. I think this was like 2 years ago when this thing came out, where Nebraska and Iowa State had offered like 420 guys or something like that.
A single class, I think it was.
But obviously they don't have that many. I don't think they're recruiting that many guys per se. I think they just, you know, you find a guy, you see he's got a bunch of other offers, you look at his tape for 3 minutes and you say, yeah, he's clearly talented enough to play at this level. And especially at Iowa State or Nebraska, where they'll take anything to help them get a dub. And, you know, they make the quick call and they're like, hey, man, it's Joe Schmo from Iowa State, Ames, Iowa. If you have to look us up on a map, we're a little bit north of Texas there. If you just run your finger up the map and we'd like to offer you a scholarship. No, you're not probably going to commit to us, right? Probably not going to be a Cyclone, but we just wanted to give you the old opportunity. And so
throwing a bunch of shit at the wall,
right? I mean, it's one strategy. I heard a great story one time that was like, there's a guy who lives in a cabin and he loves to hunt and he's got like 100 ducks on the wall, right? Every day he goes out and throws a stone at ducks or throws like hundreds of stones at ducks in the air as they fly around. And somebody comes to his cabin and says, wow, you must be great at like throwing stones and hunting, right? He's like,
he says, no, I'm just persistent.
He's like, yeah, I just throw a lot of stones, right? And eventually a couple hit. And I, you know, that's the gist of the story. It's a little bit more romantic if
speaking of Iowa State and throwing stones,
here we go.
On Friday, a few of the rookie tight ends in this class were at Georgia's training because they signed with Jack Bechta. And one of those guys happened to be Chase Allen. Who is a very cool guy, by the way. Iowa State's tight end. If you didn't know, turns out to be a very personable guy, fun guy. Definitely a dude I would get along with outside of the White Lines. And I got to talk a whole lot of shit to him. and it was fantastic. And me and George really ganged up on him pretty hard. But then we were also graced by the presence of Jake Ferguson, Wisconsin's graduate tight end. And couldn't really say shit to him except fuck you. I said that to him as soon as I met him. and we actually had a, you know, very pleasant interaction, evening, whatever. But yeah, hung out with those two guys. They both talked about how hard Kinnick was to play in. Jake talked about how that was probably the hardest Big Ten stadium to play in for him. And yeah, that was my story.
Has to be. I mean, if you go anywhere else in the Big Ten, I have to imagine that it's either like Penn State during a whiteout or Kinnick. Like those got to be the two. Ohio State, we didn't really get a chance to play in a big time game there. For a half, we did back when none of us were
relevant at all,
contributory to towards the cause. I'm not even sure that's a word.
And, don't think it is.
Could be, maybe. Sounds like it could be contributional. That's probably not a word either. None of us were.
Oh, doing- you're about to get killed for this, just like I did on Exorbitant.
Exorbitant. Let's do a word of the day. By the way, I did one litigious a couple weeks ago. By the way, Kevin, do you know what litigious means?
Litigious. No, sounds like a sexy word though.
Use it in a sentence, please. Can I get the origin?
Yeah. So here's the this was my word of the day a couple weeks ago when you weren't here, Kev. We might make this a thing. Litigious, unreasonably prone to go to law to settle disputes, concerned with lawsuits or litigation, suitable to become the subject of a lawsuit. Kevin was very litigious about the little things in his life. That's my sentence. Do you like that?
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. That's not a word I'm probably ever going to use again the rest of my life.
Okay. Well, today's word of the day.
But thank you for sharing.
No problem. You know, we want to be educational on this podcast as well as entertaining. Today's word of the day is... oh, come on, man. Resurrection.
Is this how strapped we are for content right now? We're just reading off the word of the day.
No. Today's word is resurrection. It is Easter Sunday, by the way. Happy Easter to everybody.
You want
to
know what move we went over in jiu-jitsu today?
Is it called the resurrection?
It's called the crucifix.
Oh, the crucifix. Good. How does that move get performed?
So you would get somebody in a side control.
Okay.
And then you basically use a pseudo one arm full Nelson to get them propped up so that you can get your leg into place. Once you get your leg into place, you just pull them on top of you and lock up a Kimura at a triangle with your legs. And you're right there. And then from there you work into all kinds of different pathways.
Sounds good. Kev, you like the you pull any crucifixes on people lately over at that place in Iowa City?
Citadel, yeah. BJJ.
Yes, Citadel BJJ. It's a great place to come train. Now the crucifix is a little bit beyond my repertoire as of the moment. I've got about five or so moves, and I'm just trying to get decent at those right now.
Kevin, that's a great game plan, dude. Continue to do that. And then as you get good at those, you're just going to start trying new shit. And then everything's going to start to expand for you. I like that plan.
Yeah, I'm basically like 80% of it is I'm trying to put someone in an armbar, or I'm trying to put them in a triangle. That's 80% of what I'm trying to do right now.
Sounds good to me.
Dude, start trying for Kimuras, man. You're going to find out that even without finishing them, you're going to be able to control your opponent so much. You're going to get them to do what you want them to do just by hooking up that grip.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just went over those in class this last week, so I might try to start adding that in a little bit too.
Kevin, do you have a stripe yet, Kevy? Have they gave you your first stripe?
No, not yet.
Ooh, we're still working on the stripe.
Kev, have you had a tangible shift in as you step outside the walls of Citadel, where you feel like if someone tries you now, you feel like
guaranteed.
You feel like you're almost, you're kind of welcoming that.
Step outside of the. Am I feeling? I'm feeling a little dangerous. Yeah.
a little Baker Mayfield dangerous, so, huh?
Have I told you the story about my coach, one of the coaches out here at Nashville, what he did to the guy that robbed him?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, this is the story you guys will. Oh, fuck. This is the story you guys will appreciate. So North Nashville and East Nashville are not necessary. Well, it's mostly East, and it was a while ago. To be honest, Nashville, there are some decently rough parts. And my coach was living in one of these places that was damn near, now don't call it a project, but it was not the greatest living situation. And he was gone one day, and some guy robbed his house, and he came home, found his house was robbed, and called the head of the whole organization, or his head coach, and he's like, "Hey, somebody robbed me. I think I know who did it. I'm about to go fuck this dude up." And the coach was like, "Hey, don't do anything until I get there." So the coach gets there. They walk up. And so like the head coach of the whole place and my coach that coaches on Tuesdays and Thursdays go up and can try to confront the guy. The guy takes off running. So my coach chases him down, chokes him unconscious, breaks his arm while he's unconscious, and then goes into his house, takes back all his shit, and fucks the guy's place up, and then leaves. So the guy had to wake up from getting choked out to a broken arm and a destroyed apartment.
Jesus Christ, man.
How did he know who did it?
Because he lived in a rough area, and I think this guy was like notorious for being a fucking sticky-fingered cunt.
Sticky figured cunt. That could be a t-shirt, huh?
That's not a t-shirt I would want to wear.
True.
Here's a question for you, Drake. Both of you. I saw a video on Twitter. This might have been a couple weeks ago. And it's a street fight, right?
Oh, boy.
One of the guys gets a choke in on the other person. And the guy getting choked, who's the person that started the fight, is trying to tap out.
In a street fight,
yeah. What is the what's etiquette there?
Hey, Kevin, in a street fight, you choke them to their fucking arteries clot.
Okay, well, that's an answer.
Well, that's what happened in the video. So yeah, the guy passed out.
I would say, with my extensive experience in the streets, right? If you get yourself into an altercation in the real world outside of a gym, or I would say even outside of like an athletic, you might be teammates with somebody, y'all get into a little bit, it goes a little further than it should, you respect each other. If you don't know this person, or it was blatant disrespect, I wouldn't count on the old tap working out.
Choking the person and you're getting like,
he's trying to
tap you, like say, "Hey, let him, what are you doing?"
It's situational.
So I'm going to be honest with you, Kevin. If I was in a street fight, I would do it in a very disrespectful manner. Do you remember how Khabib choked out Gaethje with the mounted triangle?
So
that's how I would do it, because I would just get top control, maybe hit him with a couple elbows, and then give him the mounted triangle, because I would then, if you've heard of a shotgun grip, it's where you put their limb underneath your armpit and wrap it down, close your elbow down tight so you can get maximal leverage. And while I had him in the triangle, I would break his arm at the elbow. And then I would probably wrist lock him and break his wrist. And when he woke up, later down the road, because then you hit him with a few elbows on top of his head while he's in the triangle. You know, just because you might as well beat a dead horse. Why not at that point? And then when he wakes up in the hospital,
because it's assault, you know,
when he wakes up at the hospital, he's going to wonder if they got the information on the fucking freight train that just ran him over.
Did you get the license plate on the bus that hit me? Yeah. So that, okay.
All right. So didn't answer my question at all, but thank you for-
What was my question? What was the question? I don't know. I was just thinking about beating people up in the
street. Dude, when Drake, you can hear it in your voice too. When you talk about hurting people or like sending them to the unconscious state, you lose all focus of whatever else you're thinking or doing. And you just like sift into this like peacefulness. That's
dude,
honestly,
it's a sickness, bro. Like, yeah. I don't think anybody can actually understand the pleasure that I get out of choking people.
I think
other than like when you guys bang your wives, that's how I feel when I get the perfect sequence and I lock somebody up to the point where they have no limbs to even save themselves. And I can just send them off into the netherworld. It's the most euphoric feeling.
Okay. Well, I think listening to you describe it, I think the listeners get a sense. God damn it. Kev, people probably sit here and wonder, like, they really lived with this guy, huh?
Yeah. When there's a warrant out for Drake's arrest for assault and battery, and
we're gonna get like questioned.
Other charges. Oh, I mean, they're gonna pull up this podcast as evidence.
Yeah, probably. Fuck it. I mean, hey, it is what it is at this point. To end that question, I think Kev, on my side, like the person and who's also in the situation, maybe as a bystander. Would depend on, and maybe like the reason why I was choking the guy out in the first place would factor into me, responding to a tap or not. I'm going to say most of the time I'm probably going till they're unconscious, because if I'm getting into a fight, it's probably a pretty serious situation. So
if somebody was trying to hurt me, I am not. So like, here's the thing. The reason in the UFC that guys let go of chokes is because they're paid to.
It's sport. Right? Yeah.
The referee comes in and breaks it up, and they know that if they don't let go of the choke, they're going to not get paid and they're going to be suspended, maybe even kicked out of the league, right? That's how they make their money. In the street, there ain't no referee and there ain't nobody paying me. So
yeah, it's a different.
I'm just simply, if you're trying to hurt me, I'm going to make sure that you can never hurt me again.
Yeah, it's a different motive behind the reason why you're in the altercation, whereas in your sense it's usually sport, which is why there's respect and a break. Yeah, so that's a great question. Hey, let us know on Twitter. Tune into the conversation here that we're having at the Wash Up Walk-Ons, which is always great. Would you respect a tap or not, right? Just shoot us your opinion on that. Some of the people that got in on the Kyler Casper conversation probably deserve to be tapped out in the street.
That sounds very true. I'm sure.
Somebody said this, a dumbass. Somebody said this. That's all right. Skinny ass kid probably couldn't take a hit over the middle anyway. Dude. Hey, Cheeto. Hey, crunchy Cheeto finger. Pack it up. Go home. Right. Put the keyboard away.
Put your dusty fingers in your mouth. Shut the fuck up.
Suck that dust off your finger and find another conversation, because you're dumb as shit. Casper's going to he's going to do well, right?
He's going to do unbelievably well.
Like, he's probably a future NFL receiver, right? You can never 100% guarantee that for anybody, but kid's got the talent. Not only that, but he reclassified. Did you see that?
I did not.
So he was a class of 23. He reclassified to the class of 22.
Oh shit, he's going to Oregon next year.
Yeah.
I thought he was just going to play high school again.
It says he reclassified to the class of 22, which would mean that he's going into college this summer.
Yo.
Wait, what?
He
just like graduate high school a year early?
So let me pull up, what does a recruit, I don't know the exact, because I never heard of this until the kid on Iowa basketball did it.
See, I wouldn't do it just because I would want that extra year of physical development just so that I could get a year later, just kind of like you do in kindergarten if you start at 5 versus 6.
Right. It's essentially a guy leaving early his junior year for the NFL, but in high school terms. That's what it is.
And I think you develop a whole lot more from 17 to 18 than you do from 22 to 23.
You'd think.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Drake, and that makes complete sense. But if you are physically developed and ready to play already at the next level, then in theory, say you do go to the NFL, gives you another year to play in the NFL, you know, everyone's
business
only got
is business,
years
it's strictly financial.
You're right. Yeah. You're right, Kev. You follow the money, and it, you know, a kid like Casper, it's not a good decision for a lot of the guys that are going to commit to Iowa. It would have been a horrible decision for us three, right? we needed 2 more years to be physically ready.
Dude, if you'd have let me play an extra year of high school, I'd appreciated it.
It would have been great if we could have reclassified backwards. In fact, that would have been awesome.
All right. the only thing that I'm like really kind of scratching my head at is, don't be in a hurry to grow up. Like, enjoy your senior year of high school, man. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
College is going to be there for you. If you're a good athlete, the NFL is going to be there for you.
So here's my question.
Don't go speeding your life away, you know?
Here's my question. What if Oregon coaches sat him down and they're like, bud, we need you this year. Like, you realize you can go back to Williams Field High School and play with the dog shit quarterback you've been playing with, or you can come to Oregon where we have a quarterback battle between Ty Thompson and Bo Nix, and you start this year because our receiving core needs you. Like, if a coach says that to you, how do you just turn that down?
It's tough.
Yeah, I understand.
Better trust the coach.
Sounds cool and everything, but be like, hey, I want to finish high school and be there next year. And now that I'm thinking about it from that first thing that I said, I think the NFL, it's an age limit, right? It's not how many years you're in college. If you go to college a year early, I think it's, you know, it's after 3 years theoretically in college, but if you go a year early, you still be able to leave after 3 years, or is it an actual age limit?
I think it's a years thing. So I don't think that affects him. I don't think he would then have to stay four. I think you got to be in college for 3 years. So, I mean, he reclassified to 22. So basically what that means in official terms is,
here's my question is, how the fuck do you just graduate high school a year early?
As long as you have the right amount of credits, man, you can just reclassify, I guess.
I didn't know that was an option. Like, is my man taking summer school? Is taking night classes? Is
that one
up on credits?
That one I don't know, because you know, realistically, you don't, as a ninth grader, you don't come in and say, hey, like some guys do in college, where they're like, hey, I want to accelerate my academic. And most people don't even say that. They're just like, screw it, I'm going to go to the league, I don't need a degree anyway. But in high school, there's no way at 15 you're thinking, I'm going to reclassify in 2 years. So I'm going to need to get ahead of this high school stuff real quick. And graduate. I don't know how. I would imagine he just found a way. I don't know. Somehow he's going to graduate from high school, and he's going to be at Oregon this summer. And that's a decision, right? I don't know. I mean, you're right. If you, it's 1 year sooner to the league, if that's the ultimate goal, it's 1 year sooner to NIL, right? Hey, I don't know if y'all saw it. I know Kevin did. I tried last night, a last ditch effort. I really did. I told him we could get him 10K a year on Twitter, and I don't even know if that's legal. So come at me, but I said the walk-ons could scrape together 10 G's a year for an NIL deal. And it just didn't happen. So it is what it is. Tried my best, Hawkeye Nation. Couldn't get it done for you. The walk-ons don't have that kind of pull.
I'm 0-for-1 as a recruiter, and I'm not really that sorry about it.
Yes.
I didn't try that hard.
That was one of the questions in the Discord, I believe. A fantastic question submitted by Oma Hawkeye. Where did Drake go wrong in this recruitment of Casper? What happened, and why did he lose out on the millionaire? Why did he lose out to the millionaires at Nike with ties to Oregon?
So I think where I mostly went wrong
was the lack of
when we went to the Casper's house to watch the game, the Hawks completely shit the bed, and I didn't even make it long enough for Kyler to come back from his training session to even recruit him to Iowa. I had already left the Casper's house to stop watching the absolute dog shit pitiful performance that we put on against Wisconsin. So there's my final answer.
Okay. Well, we respect that. That's a good answer. At least you have something to return back to that with. And that's appreciated. Hey, you know, I'm sure Tyler Barnes and KB and them, well, everyone who's had to recruit over in Iowa City would tell you, you know, you don't get them all, right?
You win some and you lose some. And when you're recruiting wide receivers to Iowa, you lose more than you win.
Right. You lose most, in fact, unless you're whoever got Keegan Johnson. Thank God.
Well, I mean, he grew up in Iowa, so we got lucky.
Yeah, we did. We got a little bit of lucky with him. Speaking of, let's go over some quotes. We're not
actually the University of Iowa has gotten pretty lucky with Iowa grown Keegans lately.
Decent, right? Decent. Yeah. Shout out to
Keegan Render was a good player.
He was.
Keegan Murray's a damn good player. Keegan Johnson's a damn good player.
Yeah. We aren't so strapped for content. I've been saving some of these quotes from the media days over the first few weeks of spring ball so that we could go over them. You guys can just give me your thoughts on these. There's a couple guys that we got down here. We got some comments from Petrus, from Riley Moss, from Torrey Taylor, Keegan Johnson, some comments from LeVar Woods on here. So, you know,
love that guy.
First off, this is from a couple weeks ago. They were talking to Spencer. I believe he was one of the first ones to talk to the media this spring. He signed off last season in the media post bowl game and said, kind of came out and said, like, you know, talked about how he had gotten a lot of shit and that his, you know, he can deal with it, but he hates that his parents have to read that and some of the stuff that the Iowa fans have talked about. So I this is mostly from Lystico. I want to, you know, give him credit too, because they're the actual media guys who are going to Iowa City and getting these quotes.
Because you're lazy as shit. Don't use your media access.
Right. Yeah, that's it. So Spencer said specifically, I don't do this for the fans. I want to play my best and show what I can do and reach my potential for the guys in this building. I don't care what the fans think.
Oh, I love that. Let your meat swing.
Yeah, I was a big fan. I was a big fan of that quote because we've gotten into a couple conversations on here, and that's not to disrespect fans either. But like, you know, some of the fans, especially the ones who think Kyler can't catch a pass over the middle in the Big Ten, guys like that, they start to chirp a little bit. The players, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if Spencer said this or it was another player, but like, one of the things we always talked about on the inside was you get 12 Saturdays, right? The fans see 12 Saturdays and most fans only see 7 and they watch 4 or 5 on TV. You get 12 game days. There's 365 days a year. How many weeks did we train? You're muted, Drake.
Let's remind ourselves that most fans don't even watch the game from a sober mindset.
True.
Imagine trying to make decisions as important as the decisions made in Big Ten football games as a drunk person. Like, yeah, you're probably right, guy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think they are. We trained 45 weeks out of the year, 46. We got a week before camp, 2 weeks before summer, 2 weeks at Christmas, a spring break, 6 weeks off during the year, 46 weeks out of the year. The guys wake up and their actual life is to go to work, grind with their teammates and friends. 12 Saturdays times 4 hours. It's 48 hours. That's 2 days worth of work that the fans get to see and judge and critique. But you put in that amount of work in a week. You know, it's maybe not a week, but two or three weeks in the off season, you accumulate that same amount of time that the fans see behind the scenes of physical work, let alone the mental work.
Sometimes it feels like you accumulate that amount of work just on one spring ball Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're doing, I mean, we always talk about the Kara hours, right? And I forget what Kara was supposed to mean. Collegiate athlete,
regulation,
regulated something. You're supposed to get 20 hours a week, right? Essentially the NCAA regulates that. There can be no more than 20 mandated hours a week of all football activity. That's including meetings, walkthroughs, anything that they say, hey, we've got this at this time. You need to be there. Conditioning, practice, so whatever. Every school in the country breaks that rule, right? I'm not even sure why it's a rule. You hit 20 hours by about Thursday. And then you have Friday and Saturday still. The amount of time these guys put in, the fans are great. And I believe part of this Spencer Petras quote as well was, it's amazing that the fans come and support and they allow us to kind of get to live the spotlight moment, the high, but at the core of what these guys do, they do it for their buddies and their roommates and their teammates and the coaches and the guys in that building. And I love that mindset from Spencer because, man, guy takes a lot of shit. I mean, guy takes enough shit that if some of you Cheetos at home took that much shit, you might kill yourself.
For real, you would kill yourself. If you were in that much of a spotlight and you had that much pressure on you and you understood what the pressure of an organization living and dying on your performance felt like, and then add all of the negative pressure and emotion that is flooding from the outside, you would legitimately go into a hot bath, cry yourself to death, and then pull the trigger. It would be over with.
Yeah.
Pink mist everywhere. So think about that, you weak-minded fucks, before you start talking about how you think these players are hot dog shit.
I just thought that was good from Spencer. Also news from Spencer, down 8 pounds this offseason, said he wanted to rededicate his body to being more mobile. Guess what? He also knows that he needs to be more mobile, everybody out there. He went from 234 to 226. And Ray talked to the media as well and said that all of Spencer's performance indicators, every single one, went up this offseason. So the guy's putting in the work, right? Like, even if you don't think that on a football field in that super multivariable situation, you see it next season, the guy grinded his ass off this fall or this winter to lose weight, become more athletic, get faster, be more agile. Guy's trying. Then he talked a little bit about his time working with his quarterback coach. And this is something that John Miller has said as well. And I think he's right. And I think more people, you guys could give your opinions on this too. But Spencer said, the biggest thing for me is that when my fundamentals are correct, I don't miss. My balls go where they're supposed to every time. I just have to make sure that I get my feet set. I don't think
quarterback coaches talk about the feet all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know much about playing quarterback, but I hear all the guys like the Jordan Palmers of the world talking about how you got to get your feet set and pointed at the, get your shoulders pointed at the target and, you know,
Said that a few main mechanic things that were starting to kind of leak last season, he has been able to fix this offseason with his coach. Stuff that Coach Ken O'Keefe did not do anything about midseason. So that is what it is. He also says now he is with Brian twice a day versus twice a week from before.
Jealous.
So you would have to think that that is going to play a factor in him getting better. Kevin, do you have any thoughts on any of that?
I mean, I'll go back to the original comment, and I pretty much agree with you guys across the board. It's great that the fans come out and support Iowa football in the way they do, but you, not a single soul in that building can operate with any of your opinions in mind. Just imagine going through your own life, trying to do your job, worried about what someone on the outside is thinking about the way that you're doing your job. Like, not even just someone, like thousands of someone. Like, you can't operate like that. It doesn't make any sense. You got to just control what you control, and you got to do it for yourself and do it for the guys that you are going to war with. I agree with that statement 100%.
Yeah. Could you imagine some guy in his cubicle and, like, every 2.5 minutes – there was like a tweet that popped up on his sidebar that said, that was just from some other guy that was like, Brian Jones sucks at being a fucking accountant. This guy doesn't know how to fucking add or subtract. This guy has
way to respond to that email, asshole.
This guy is the worst fucking email etiquette I've ever seen. I think I could do this guy's job. And it's just every 2 to 3 minutes, this guy's getting bombarded. It would just be like, you know, you just have to put yourself in that situation. Because that's
I get it as athletes that, you know, in the spotlight, it just comes to the territory. There's assholes out there,
sure.
You have to accept that, and like Spencer said, like, you can't let it bother you, and honestly, you shouldn't really give it any mind.
Yeah. Riley Moss had some comments. Obviously, he was one of the bigger stories around the turn of the year as he came back after being one of the best DBs in the country. Only played 8 games last year, but was one of the, and probably will be, the most feared DB in the country going into this season. Had some comments on his joy of playing football at the next level or at Iowa versus NFL business. And what swayed his decision to return for the 5th COVID year. These were a couple of his quotes. I figured when I'm dead and in the grave, I'm not bringing the money with me. I'm bringing the memories.
I fucking love that. Wow. What a quote. What a quote.
From a 23-year-old.
Damn.
Kevin's fired up.
Kevin's fully tented in the car on the way back to Iowa City right now. Fully tented shirts coming soon.
But
probably only to the Patreon members.
Patreon-y!
That's a pretty cool quote. And this is, I even quoted Chad here as he wrote the article. The death theme continued later in the interview, saying he realizes he could tear an ACL as a fifth-year senior. Quote from Riley, there's always risk in everything you do. I could get in a car crash and die. Life's all about risks. Yo, Riley walks around with some
pretty dark, isn't he?
He's got a little edge to him, I think.
The kid's a little crazy, I think.
He's the kind of guy you want as a teammate.
I don't think that's even that crazy, man. I don't think that's even that crazy. I started reading a little bit of stoicism, and a lot of it's around the fact that you have to think about the fact that you are a mortal human being, that you are dying every second. You know, tomorrow is not promised. Nothing is promised. All that you can control is what you do right now in the present. And I actually think that's as wise beyond his years, what he's talking about there.
Sounds like Riley's, he's being a little stoic then, because kid's living in the present. And I've seen, I see the Instagram highlights, the little montages of spring practice and that shit. Riley's the guy. Like, he's the vibe guy at practice. He's... not only that, but he's a leader in that DB room. I think Coach Parker talked a little bit about that. Coach Parker's been at the stand as well. Speaking of, I know I talked about you or talked about this with you, Drake, about how Xavier Wampaugh has been coming in once a week on his own to watch film with Coach Parker. Not only that, but Ray said that X has been outstanding at developing good habits and routines so far and is the ultimate teammate.
Love to hear these things.
Love that from a five-star, huh?
Yes.
Going to see a lot of X's here. I'm not sure where you're going to see them, but you're going to see a lot of them. And
X is going to give it to you.
X is going to give it to you. Yeah, he's going to give it to you. Should have had that queued up on the soundboard and just bad podcaster. All right. Let's see. What else do we got here? We got some word that Cooper DeJean or DeJean, I don't know how to say his last name, and I should probably figure that out because he's going to be important over the next couple years. He's got a chance to be the holder this year for PATs. And for those that are queued up on his background, he was a absolute dynamic freak in high school. Could basically score from anywhere in the building. Also dunked on kids' heads in basketball in high school. So he's a super athlete and he can throw. And if we've got him at holder,
you just know that LeVar is cooking up something special for him.
Licking his chops, man. Licking his chops.
Kluver, do you think he can be a more dynamic playmaker than Rastetter?
I'll think about that one. But as I do think about it, the answer yes comes to mind immediately.
Gotcha.
Having Cooper down on one knee receiving the snap, in my mind with LeVar as special teams coach, that opens up a lot of opportunities. Okay. We'll just leave it there. I'm sure that we'll see the execution of that later on this fall. Hoping that
I miss a little special teams razzle dazzle. We haven't done anything too crazy lately.
Well, sometimes you got to die down a little bit. You got to hide in the weeds so people forget, you know.
I guess.
Also, from that interview, it was a video interview that they caught. Cooper looks like he's 16 years old. Kid looks like he absolutely is in middle school. So love that. He probably still.
That means we're getting old, dude.
Yeah, you're probably right. We're getting old. You're probably right. The way he answers questions too, this is just a personal note, but he strikes me as a absolute ultimate competitor. Almost has this like dead single focus look in his eyes when he answers the questions, like he just wants to compete at everything he does. And I wrote down that he's very Weissman like. So that's not a bad thing. Reminded me very much so of how Mark handled answering questions in the media and going about his business. So there's that. Let's go down to coach, a couple of the coaches' comments here before we wrap this one up. Kicking wise, and this is just because I was a snapper, Coach Wood said that he could see the kicking competition going into the fall camp. He sees their kickers at the same level right now. We want the guys to kick consistently and confidently. That is some great bullshit coach talk from Coach LeVar Woods. There's clearly a number one and clearly a number two, basically at all times. And they're just not going to tell you until they need to. So that's that interpreted. He says that Charlie Jones, Arlen Bruce, and Cooper DeJean all look good returning kicks. I feel great with all three of them with the balls in their hands. And he feels good with all of them making decisions. And that's about it. There's a few other.
I think we should try and get the ball to six in as many opportunities or in as many ways as we can. You know, if that even gets him two or three extra touches on punt and kick returns, I don't think that's the worst idea.
Keegan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, Charlie.
I understand the sentiment, but Charlie Jones is a good athlete.
Charlie Jones is. He's just as dangerous too.
But what about on kick return? Charlie Jones didn't do a ton on kick return, did he? It was mostly punt.
He was better on punt.
He did both.
He was better on punt.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe just let Charlie do it. He was the return guy of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe you just don't try and fix what ain't broke.
And 16, you know, I don't know if you guys remember that quote from last year with KF, but Charlie's got a little like standoffish, like kind of flies by the seat of his pants, does, you know, rolls by the beat of his own drum kind of attitude. I think that's exactly what Coach Ferentz said last year. And they kind of grinded, you know, heads with each other a little bit. And once KF just started letting him kind of do his thing, that's when he kind of broke out. And there's some swag walking around the complex in Iowa City with X and Charlie and Riley. This has a chance to be a decent little team.
Yeah, it does.
ESPN picked us their FPI rating. I know that went around too. Cheeto Fingers had their way with that one. They picked us like fourth in the West, which is great.
Great.
Love that.
Love that.
Love it.
Love that.
Iowa always plays better as the underdog, and the forgotten and the overlooked. And that's always been the case. So just keep doing it, baby. Just keep doing it. That's about it. I've got some,
I got one last thing. I saw a little chart the other day of the top 100 NCAA linebackers of all time.
Yep.
And Josie got ranked 93. Thought that was pretty cool. I think he may be better than that. His stats, I think, may say that he was a little better than that. But who knows?
Yeah.
That's, 93 ain't bad for all the linebackers that ever played.
Been a lot of linebackers, right?
I was surprised that Green Eye wasn't on there.
Yeah, that
I know.
That account is a fucking horseshit account. They, you know, they found a little niche with making very simple Excel spreadsheets that are colorful and top 50 this, top 100 that. They're never very, you know, detailed and key.
Not a whole lot of work put into them, yeah.
Right. It's a way to go viral and kind of create conversation on Twitter. I get what they're doing. Larry Station.
Why don't we do that?
That's a great question. We fucking really should do that. Josie made the list. Greenway 100% should be on the list, but I said that the list was acceptable because the Outlaw made it. If you can even be in the conversation of top 100 at your position all time in the history of college sports, you're doing something right. And Josie's doing something right. He's got a fucking beautiful family out there. He's making a lot of money. How much is Josie making?
I think he just signed for 2 years, $11 million.
Oh, the Christmas present this year better be fucking good from the Outlaw, huh? Holy shit. I'm going to send him a box of ramen. that's what my salary looks like compared to his. So good for old Joe's. You guys got anything to say about Easter? I know I'm going to reserve my Easter comments and Easter weekend recap for the old Dickhead Tuesday. I think my opinions and stories are probably better suited there.
I've got some hard feelings, but we'll save it for Dickhead Tuesday.
Okay.
About the restaurants around Nashville lately.
Okay. Kev, did you go to church this weekend?
Have a blessed Sunday, y'all.
There you go. Blessed by Kevin. 309. We'll be back with 310 on Thursday. See you then. Peace.